Brahmachari.
Krishna, everybody. So we'll be speaking from Bhagavad Gita, a very nice verse in the second chapter. Bhagavad Gita is the song of God, it's wonderful instructions that we can use in our practical daily life and see the truth unfold right in front of us. So this is text 18. Antavanta ime deha Nitya isho tapcharina Anashino prameyasya Tasmad yudhyasva bharata. Would anyone like to say it?
Antavanta ime deha.
Antavanta ime deha.
translation, Mom Prabhupada, by Srila Prabhupada. The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable, and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharata. The material body is perishable by nature. It may perish immediately, or it may do so after 100 years. It is a question of time only. There is no chance of maintaining it indefinitely. But the spirit soul is so minute that it cannot even be seen by an enemy, to say nothing of being killed. As mentioned in the previous verse, it is so small that no one can have any idea how to measure its dimension. So from both viewpoints, there is no cause of lamentation, because the living entity, as he is, cannot be killed, nor can the material body be saved for any length of time or permanently protected. The minute particle of the whole spirit acquires this material body according to his work, and therefore observance of religious principles should be utilized. In the Vedanta Sutras, the living entity is qualified as light because he is part and parcel of the supreme light. As sunlight maintains the entire universe, so the light of the soul maintains this material body. As soon as the spirit soul is out of this material body, the body begins to decompose. Therefore, it is the spirit soul which maintains the body. The body itself is unimportant. Arjuna was advised to fight and not sacrifice the cause of religion for material bodily considerations. So you can repeat, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So these are beginning teachings of Lord Krishna to Arjuna. And it reminds me of how not just the material body, but so many things are very breakable. I don't know if you've been out to the Eagle Farm recently, but we just broke ground, and now after 2 years of waiting for a building permit, we are now building 3 cabins and 1 big arts and crafts / community type building. And so we had to have a well man come out to put in another well. And so we're standing out there waiting for him to come. And he comes and he looks around. He goes, oh, this is a good spot. It's because there's not a lot around. So we can get our trucks in there, you know, do their thing. And he said, besides, it's going to break anyway. And I go, well, that's not a very good sales pitch. I'm buying something that's definitely going to break. But that's the stark truth. At some point, your well is going to break. At some point, everything's going to break. There's nothing for sure, right? And so here's describing how the material body, sooner or later, is also going to break. So this is not just material things, but think of relationships. Relationships can break very easily. They go up and down. Maybe even your job can be lost. Or maybe even the economy. It can also break. There's a chance of that. So the truth hurts when you think about it, that we're in a very shaky situation where breakdown is pretty much predictable. I'm sure you all own something. I mean, how many are homeowners here? Quite a few, probably. Right. You know that you have a nest egg. You keep a certain amount of the money in the bank because you know at some point that refrigerator is going to break, or the dishwasher or something like that. So, you know, where's the fun when you never even get to use the money until finally it breaks and you have to buy something that you don't, you know, thought was going to last forever. And maybe it's even on a yearly, you know, timage, or maybe even weekly or daily, something the house breaks. It's very disappointing. And what to think of all the other things that we buy. Just think of your car. Of course, when you get a car, you have to get roadside insurance, right? Because there's that fear that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be stuck, you know? Those poor people up in Michigan and everything, if they get stuck in the snow, they're going to freeze to death. So this is also another thing they get you for the roadside insurance. So this is a fear that is inside all of us because things are very temporary. It's actually described in the scripture that this planet is known as Marcha Loka. Loka means planet or place, and Marcha means death. So this is actually a place of death with everything. Although it begins to grow, and at some point it dies. So it's also described that that even our expectations, they can be broken. That's very disappointing. When you think that you're going to, you know, like my daughter's friends were coming all the way to see her and everything, and then she got COVID, and she couldn't spend any time with them. So at some point, we get frustrated, because this is actually also described in the scripture as it's a hard struggle for existence. We're all having to go through this experience of struggling. But this isn't what we wanted, really. What happened was that we were in the spiritual world, our spirit soul, as it's described here in the scriptures, that we're not just this body, but we're a spirit soul. We were a free spirit soul serving Krishna beautifully, having loving relationship with Krishna. And then we got this crazy desire to want to enjoy without him. And so he warned us. He warned us that I'm going to send you to a place where you can try to enjoy as much as you like, but it's not going to go so well. Well, that's okay. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. And so we get delivered here to the material world, and we're put in the hands of Maya. Maya is the illusory energy, and she takes us, and she promises to support us totally in our endeavor to pursue this happiness, this highest happiness. And she makes a lot of promises, lots and lots of promises. But most of the time she doesn't come through with them. So this is, and now our business is to purchase things, to buy so many things that will make the body comfortable while we're here. Usually, you know, during the year you buy, you know, air conditioner, and if you're cool, and when you're hot, and when you're cold, you get a heater, and so trying to make a situation where it's not such a struggle. And that's what we do. We spend our money and our time and our effort in purchasing all these things that will break down eventually. But there's always a protection plan. When you go to buy something, let's say you go to Best Buy, and you buy something, and they say, well, would you like the protection plan, right? 2 year, 5 year, it'll last that long, we'll make sure everything's okay. And then it's pricey. Those protection plans end up to be like half the price of what you just bought. And then it's, you know, who knows if it's going to break, but it makes you feel better, right? That, oh, I might get my money's worth out of this before it breaks. You know? So this is how the material world works. But one thing I can't figure out how it works is when you get a lifetime guarantee on something. What does that mean? Your lifetime? What does it mean? Because after I'm gone, I don't need it anyway. Or is it the lifetime of the thing? But the thing, when it dies, then it's done. So that was a lifetime. So where do you get any money from it? I never could understand it. These promises, you know, promises. Maya has one promise that she always keeps. Anybody know what that is? She says, if you don't succeed, you can try, and try again. She'll give you multiple lifetimes to keep trying to enjoy. So this is one thing you can depend solely on Maya for. But some people are happy with that. Some people are fine, that's okay, I'll come back again and it'll be better. Because that's what holds us together. Even all these things are falling around us, there's always that hope that it's going to get better. It's got to get better. So that keeps us alive. It keeps us moving in the direction of this struggle. Srila Prabhupada when he came to the West, he got some disciples, and they would sometimes take him on a little tour of the city and things. Papa would like to go see what the Western world is kind of like, and he would go, and he had some strange comments, and one of them was that, why are they breaking this down? Why this is perfectly good. Why are they breaking it down to build another one? And he called this disease we have making and breaking. You know, it's never good enough. Like when you go around town, I think over on, where was it the other day, Newbury, where 34th comes in. It used to be a big, huge strip mall. They tore the whole thing down. They're just making another one. What was wrong with the other one? So this is our disease, that we're always making and breaking because we're never really satisfied. We're just trying to make it better and better. We never have enough. It's never good enough. And even our relationships, we work very hard at them, but it's never good enough. We have to get a different one. And it's painful because we want a relationship. We want an eternal, loving relationship. And this is what we're trying to receive here, is the practice of how to revive that relationship with the Supreme Lord that we're hankering for. I think it was Simon and Garfunkel that had a song one time, I'm a rock, I'm an island. But we're not a rock, we're not an island. We're people, and we want a loving relationship with our eternal Father, and that's Lord Krishna. So this is what we have to yearn for, not just be satisfied with lifetimes and lifetimes of trying to repair and to replace and spend every lifetime in another endeavor, fruitless endeavor. But there's always new fears here in the material world. The latest fear is a concern about the climate change. Our earth is breaking down. Crazy, you know? Volcanoes, earthquakes, everything. You know, where are people going to live? They say that, you know, soon this place is going to be desolate because there won't be any place to live. Outlook is not very good. And of course, there's always that greatest fear that our loved one will pass away. Or as in this purport, our material body is going to go away. And what can we do about it? It reminds us here that there's not a thing we can do. We can't delay it. We can't stop it. But we can escape it. And that's this is the perfect escape. Just like here, Arjuna is trying to escape having to kill his relatives. But Krishna says, your real escape is to surrender, to get over this attachment, and then come to me. So this requires an intense desire on our part, an intense desire to really want to get that relationship back together and to willing to work for it. And to repair that, is the process of bhakti that we teach you. It's a transcendental arts and science of how to come in contact with Krishna again, to offer our service again, to actually learn how to please him and become attracted. So this is a constant endeavor on our parts to be in touch with Krishna. And therefore we have a wonderful process, a joyful process of bhakti that works very easily for even little toddlers like this. They can hear and chant, they can sing, they can take prasadam, and come see the deities. This is also eye contact. All of our senses can be engaged 24 hours a day. And this way we can remind ourselves of that eternal relationship that we have, especially through sound. The very beginning of bhakti is hearing this maha mantra, hearing the name of Krishna. Instead of chanting our glories, we chant his glories. And this helps us to remind and to purify our hearts and get the proper attitude back so Krishna will accept us. I recently went on a trip to India and to get injected with spiritual life, which we need desperately here in this material world, just to become revived in our spiritual practices. And as you know, you get on the airplane and they go to the whole safety thing, They say, put on your seatbelt, the lady comes out. And they try to make it exciting now, so it's not just the lady comes out, actually the recordings, or they have comics or something to get you to look at the safety things. And usually they say, you know, they show you how to put the seatbelt on, and then they say, now look for the exits in case you need to leave the airport. So they say, now make sure you look behind you, right, because the door might be behind you. And then they say, in case you have to leave, what do they say next? The floor lights will come on, right, and it'll guide you out. And then the most important thing they say is, don't take anything with you, right? You can't take anything with you. And immediately you're thinking, oh, those new gold earrings, they're in my bag. I'm going to go up there and get them before I leave. And probably everyone's thinking the same thing, that I'm going to take that with me, you know. But that's the most important thing. It's not just the chanting, but we have to become detached from all these material things. Our desire is just to have all these material things that really just break down. But anyway, we have to detach ourselves from these desires and become attached to Krishna. And this is the process of bhakti. Then we're free to go. We have to let go before we can grab onto Krishna. So this is something that we do it daily here in the temple. We get up early, become a little detached from too much sleep, too much comfort. And with this higher consciousness of the way of thinking, how I can become more centered on Krishna, then we become on a different platform where we can look down and see this struggle going on, but we're not really affected by it. We're not really part of it. We can see that, oh, yes, this material body is getting old. There's wrinkles are getting a little deeper there. It's hard to put tilak on these days. Really bumpy. But we can transcend it, and we realize that I'm not this body anyway. I'm the spirit soul inside. And therefore, the fear is gone. The fear of the struggle is gone. Just like the little child holding his father's hand in a dark alley or in a forest. He's not as scared anymore because he's got hold of his father's hand. In the same way, bhakti is grabbing onto Krishna's hand, and he's grabbing onto ours, and he promises, and his promise is for sure, that he's not going to let go, that he's going to bring you back to him. So we have to understand the mercy that we have taking part in this process. We have to become convinced more and more to surrender, because that is the process. So some people still aren't convinced, and they buy their gadgets and their gidgets and everything, and then of course they fall apart. And so now there's a whole new consciousness, and I'm part of it. It's called DIY, right? Do it yourself. So now everyone's into trying to do it yourself, to fix it yourself. And I was in Lowe's the other day, I think, trying to find something to fix something, and I ran into my daughter, and she's got the exhaust fan of her bathroom in her hand, and she's trying to do the same thing, trying to fix something in her house, and she got the wrong part, and then she had to do this, she had to go back to the store. DIY is not always as smooth as it looks. It doesn't run that smooth. Sometimes it costs more money, a lot more trouble. So in the same way, spiritual life, we cannot do it ourselves. DIY does not exist in advancing spiritually. We have to depend on the spiritual master and Krishna's representative. He has the best manual for fixing things, and that's the Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna how he can fix this, become detached, how he can surrender and become attached to Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. So we can, although we advertise this bhakti yoga as self-realization, it's realizing the self, but it's not that you do it yourself. You have to depend on the spiritual master, because there's so many different processes you can look at. You can look at meditation, you can look at maybe charity will be the way to become spiritual, or maybe doing austerity will be a source of my advancement spiritually. So the guidance of the spiritual master is essential. Even chanting, we need guidance. We were reading in a bhajan the other night about that, you know, even we need guidance in chanting. Here's a nice song that is by Bhaktisiddhanta. We were just mentioning him as we'll be celebrating his appearance day. And in this verse, it says, "This humble servant of Radha and her beloved Krishna always hopes for kirtan, and he begs all to loudly sing the names of Lord Hari. The transcendental power of congregational chanting automatically awakens remembrance of the Lord and his divine pastimes in relation to one's own eternal spiritual form. Only at that time does it become possible to go off to a solitary place and engage in confidential worship of their lordships." So some people, they think, I can just chant Hare Krishna on my own, go off and chant. But here, we're hearing from the great realized souls that the coming together and chanting is important. It will give us that taste and that strength to be able to chant on our own. So it's essential to come here and to chant congregationally, just like last night. So many people came and chanted for 6 hours here in the temple together. And then that builds our taste for the holy name. And then we can advance and we can develop that higher understanding when we're chanting of our relationship with Krishna. So we need guidance at every step. On my trip, I went to what's called a Govardhan retreat. And it's real nice. You seek out these advanced devotees that prepare some classes so that it can help you. And very essential. And so we're hearing these different pastimes and instructions. And then it comes to a point in the retreat where they say, now we're going to churn the nectar. In other words, we're going to go together and we're going to share each other's experience and realizations and maybe generate some questions of what we've been talking about. And so that association of getting together with other people and discussing, it brings alive the instructions. And so this is very important, that we're not just alone, just hearing these instructions, but we can come together. So we're going to do this right now. We're going to ask, just right next to you, 5 people, just get together, and I'll give you, we're only going to spend 5 minutes to do this, but you'll see how so much can come out of this. Either, so we've been speaking about how to repair our relationship with Krishna and the importance of it, and how we succeed, and what are our tools that we need to succeed in this bhakti. So I'd like you all to get together just for 5 minutes. This group here, 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 a few groups, and just discuss and maybe generate some question or generate some experience or some reflection on about repairing your relationship with Krishna. So ready, set, go. Don't get on the metal, just even if you don't know each other, just discuss. Just a couple more minutes. One more minute. Okay, finish up. Okay, Hare Krishna. Would anyone from one group like to share one thing that was discussed? Okay.
Hare Krishna. So we discussed a variety of ways to repair our relationship with Krishna, but one of the biggest things we were discussing is association with other devotees, availing opportunities to come together, to chant together, to serve together, have these type of discussions that we're having right now. So yeah, that was one of the ways.
Somebody else want to share anything? It was interesting that Niladri was saying that, you know, people are always looking for their soulmate, you know, trying to find that very perfect relationship. And she had the realization that, you know, the real soulmate is God. It's Krishna. He's in your heart. And she could picture, you know, Krishna holding her and comforting her. And so that's what we're really striving for. Mm. Anybody else over here?
Yeah, we were just talking about, this is my friend, this is her first time at the temple. And I was just saying that my favorite part of staying close to Krishna is bringing new devotees into the room so they can just feel the vibration of Krishna. That makes me feel very close to him to help other people find and get to experience his holy grace and vibration.
And the sacred places are the sanctuary.
When we are clear with our intention and take action, then absorption will come automatically. Then we can direct our emotion to be in love with him.
Anybody else? Okay, so you can see that definitely there's many tools that we have in bhakti to develop that relationship. But it takes some endeavor, but it's fun doing it all together, and it's very rewarding. And then of course, there's the final exam, discussing this purport. And when the body actually is no longer useful, it goes away. And Prabhupada said that actually, that's when you have to fly your own airplane. But we're discussing how, you know, we have to get training by instructors. Usually, if you go flying in an airplane, you get many, many hours with a flight instructor, right? You don't just go up there by yourself. So that's why associating here in the temple and doing service together and chanting, that all is our training program, so that when we're up there flying and we're by ourselves, and when it's between Krishna and us, we still have people at the on the radio, the tower down there, rooting for us, chanting for us, the plane tower where you come in. So they'll be on the radio helping us. And then if it gets really bad, when Krishna says, I'll come be your co-pilot. I'll come and sit in there. So it's a wonderful process, but it requires this, you know, this process that Prabhupada gave us that's particularly perfect for developing our consciousness now. And right now we can learn how to become more dependent on Krishna and call out to him, just like we would definitely be calling out to him at the time of death. But we have to practice that now. And then Krishna will come. But we have to practice being dependent. Otherwise, we think we can do it ourselves, and we can't. So we have to allow him that chance. And so there's many prayers by our acharyas that give us that idea of how to express that. And this is by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. On my own, I find I have no strength to chant the holy name of Lord Hari. With a particle of faith, I beg you, therefore, please be merciful and give me the greatest treasure of the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is yours. You are able to give him to me, for such is your power. I am indeed wretched and simply run after you crying, Krishna, Krishna. So this is the importance of the prayer. And we are praying, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a prayer asking us to be engaged in his service. But the spiritual master is so important because he gives us the strength of chanting this mantra more sincerely all the time. So we have to be confident that we've purchased the best insurance policy, that Krishna says that my devotee will never perish, and that if we have faith in his holy name, that Krishna is his holy name, that is non-different, that we always have a shelter, because there's bhajan, there's japa, there's kirtan, there's hearing, there's scripture, there's Krishna katha between us. It's a whole 24 hours of association with Krishna. And in that association, if we can do it in a loving manner, then that escape from this decomposing material world will be for sure. So we have to do this practice very diligently. And here's one more description of the importance of this holy name, which becomes the center of our life. It says, this is actually a mantra, it is a song to the holy name, about the holy name. For all souls within this world, there's much misery and sorrow. O Hari Nam, if someone calls upon you just one time, feeling himself very meek and lowly, possessing nothing and seeing no other remedy for his relief, you then easily destroy all his sorrows. If one simply obtains a slight reflection, a glimmer of you, then all sorts of terrible miseries disappear. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, all glories to the holy name of Lord Hari. O Hari Nam, I perpetually fall at your lotus feet. So we should take this chanting and realize that that's our most important tool. And if we can do it all together, that's even more powerful. So tonight is a nice chance to get some of that power. I think that after this, there'll be a kirtan, and it's going to go on until 9 o'clock. So it's also chanting the holy name of Ram. It's also very potent for us. But we'll be chanting Hare Krishna too, so please stick around and develop your consciousness so that we can transcend this material world and go back to the real world where we have a loving relationship with Krishna. Anyone have any questions or any other comments or realizations you'd like to add? We're in the back.
Thank you, Akriti, Devi, for your wonderful class. I had a question about your travels to India, to the Eco Village. If you would mind to share a little bit of your experience there?
Just a short thing. I went specifically to try to get ideas for developing our Eco Village here. There's one above Bombay. It's quite elaborate. It's kind of resorty. But they do a lot of preaching to people that normally would not come to temples or know about Krishna, and they have all kinds of programs where they attract different elite people and all kinds of professors and yoga students and all kind. They have a whole big scenario, a big piece of land, and they attract many people to come and to get a taste of Krishna in different ways. So we might try to develop some of those right now. We're just trying to get some cabins so people can come here and stay, and then we can try to facilitate giving them Krishna. But it was nice. It's very very beautiful piece of property and nicely maintained and engages a lot of people. A lot of devotees are there serving in different in ways, and they also help the outside people a lot in their farming projects. And then they have a whole school to teach the village girls and boys different arts and skills. We went over there and spoke, and so it's very dynamic. So there's always room for improvement. So it's nice to go other places and to travel and see how you can also improve the projects that you're working on here. So there's a lot of room. So maybe we can take prasadam and then come back in 10 or 15 minutes and chant to this celebration of this temple being built in Ayodhya. Hare Krishna.